We pray, Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, your compassion, O God, that you've extended toward us in this hour, that you should be visiting us, Lord, and preparing us to get out of here, preparing us to get into there, Lord, preparing us for all these things, Father, we know, because we have had the full advantage of the circumstances surrounding the rapture handed to us, Lord, by revelation, and already in the first phase. And here, Lord, that's 21 years gone by, 22 coming right up. But, Lord, we know that we're not shaken as to the time element. We just know that it's nearer than when we first believed, and your grace has come to such a place, Lord, that it's manifested longer than we even thought it would last. We appreciate that. We know there's a reason for it. We must have a need within ourselves for it, O God. We know the need does not lie in you. It did not lie in your prophet, for the prophet said that Moses could have been revealed down there sooner, but the people weren't ready. They weren't ready for quite some time, even after he got back. So, Lord, we know that the case is with us. It's not with the prophet. It's not with you. There is something that is for infinite good, and we pray that we'll understand that, Lord. We'll take it to heart and therefore wax patient and grow strong in this message, which is a message of grace. Lord, to know that we're strong in the message, to know we're strong in grace. To be strong in grace, Lord, is strong in the message. We know that's exactly what it is. So we're very encouraged today, Lord, with your goodness and mercy. Now, Lord, may we just soften right down, Father, in our hearts and our minds toward you and your word, Lord, and be like sponges, O God. Actually, you said in your word, like little children, to learn, Father. May we learn, Lord, as little children, not having experience ourselves and not having knowledge ourselves, but depending on a knowledge and an experience of somebody else. And that's you, Lord, and your prophet. So we pray that we will take it this morning in that respect and thereby enter into the kingdom, because you said such would be little children who enter in. So, Lord, we want that. We ask you for it, and we're ready to, hopefully, Lord, we're really ready to take that stand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. This is number 12. Of the Anointed Ones of the End Time. The Anointed Ones of the End Time by Brother Branham clearly sets forth a revelation of Matthew 24:24 that runs counter to present-day theology. It is absolutely impossible for the Laodicean charismatic to believe that our God will anoint a reprobate with the Holy Spirit so that the reprobate will manifest genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit, live a sanctified life, preach salvation, and so conduct himself as a genuine believer, but be in reality a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that Matthew 24:24 is preached by Brother Branham, set forth under the seven seals, a revelation that is, we believe, to come directly from Almighty God, from the presence of God, according to Revelation 10:1-7. In the face of the Laodicean church age, rich in Christian goods and lack nothing, nevertheless wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. But they don't know that, so it's absolutely impossible for the Laodicean charismatic to believe that our God, love, grace, mercy, will anoint a reprobate with the Holy Spirit so that the reprobate will manifest genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost, live a sanctified life, even preach salvation, and so conduct himself as a genuine believer, but be in reality a wolf in sheep's clothing. You think, I ask you a question. Would you believe that normally? I wouldn't believe that normally. I'd come out swinging. Not that I'm a fine person, but I know some fine people. See, sure. This man can appear to be void of offense toward God and man. He can live a life of self-sacrificial love, and it could be testified of him that he is a transparent, blameless Christian. He can be such a person as to be commended by all. Yet he can be a make-believer. And the tragedy of all is that he is absolutely deceived, and so are they who witness to him. How can this be so? To be perfectly truthful, there is no right-thinking person who would accept this revelation unless he was given a vindicated, irrefutable proof. You couldn't take it.
Say, man, you mean to tell me that car I bought will go 125 miles an hour? It won't skid when it hits an ice slick? And if there's a car in front, you just hit a gadget, it hops over the top? This I got to see. Say, huh, that's right, I got to see that too. I got to see this. I'm not stupid. I'm just insane. My brains are gone. See? I don't think I could take that. Now, you understand what we're saying here. How could a charismatic believer, who already is anointed with genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost, or with the Holy Ghost and have genuine gifts? You know, listen, remember years and years ago, I was just coming into understanding a little bit of one God. And there were some Trinitarians. And it really threw them for a loop. Because these Trinitarians were picking on this oneness fella. And they said, and the worst thing is, that guy lives blameless. We can't put a finger on him. Now, they didn't like his doctrine. They said his doctrine was wrong. They were wrong. They didn't produce the life either. But they looked at that guy. Now look, at this end time, we could be in the same boat. Can't put your finger on the fellow. But God did. God fingered him. There would have to be some irrefutable proof. Now remember, there is no such thing as irrefutable proof in the Scripture. Because nobody can prove anything to anybody. Jesus Christ couldn't, and he was the tabernacle of God. So there is no such thing as irrefutable proof in the sense of general acceptation. But to the elect, there would have to be an irrefutable proof that the elect would take because they alone cannot be deceived. 8, at the time of Noah. 3, at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, and this is what this is all about. Irrefutable proof. The prophet of Malachi 4, with the Son of Man ministry of Luke 17, fulfills Revelation 10, 1-7, so that 2 Thessalonians 2, wherein deceit, the lie, takes all men but the very elect under its domination or dominion, so that all but those very elect are deceived, as it says in Matthew 24:24. Now you all know the Scripture, don't you? What's Luke 17:20-30? Son of Man revealed, right? In such a way that you can't get it unless you're elect. It'll be right there under your nose, but you'll look someplace else for it. Reminds me of some people looking for the return ministry, Brother Branham. Daddy Boss had pulled my coattails, and he said, Brother Vail, 1953, December. He said, Brother Vail, he said, I've been praying for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth for 40 years, and there it is in that man. Now, the man that would pray for the return ministry of Jesus Christ must have known something nobody else knew because nobody else was praying for it that I know of. And then when he prayed for it, he saw it. Now, people said they saw it, and they want it again. Brother Branham said one time in Africa brought 30,000 people, 30,000 times over here brings nobody. Something's wrong. Something's radically wrong. So you can't prove anything. But here it is. What's Revelation 10, 1-7? The one on the throne in Revelation 5, 1 comes down and consorts with the prophet on earth. What is 2 Thessalonians 2? It's the truth that comes on the scene before the lie, and they accept the lie instead of the truth, and they substitute the lie for the truth, which the lie says, you shall not surely die. Millions now living will never die. I never heard such stupidity. How could you believe millions are going to receive the truth, and the Bible said very few are going to receive. My God, a few. Millions are not few. Well, I'd like a few dollars, said Brother Bale. What's a few dollars? Oh, about 30 million. She. Don't understand their thinking. Now, how few those elect are is brought to our attention where we were already reading on page 31. Paragraph 132. Reprobates concerning. Not reprobates in living. They're fine cultured men. Can't even lay a hand on the preachers and what have you. Now notice, when Moses went down to Egypt with the message of thus saith the Lord. Now that's the message, thus saith the Lord. What is the message? The shout. What is the great sermon of the shout? The rapture sermon. That's the great one. That placed it all. I told you how I sat there and Brother Branham said, the shout is the message. I'm going. I just about walked out right there. I'd had it. I thought, I said, man, I said, I've heard you say a lot of things far out, but this is the farthest out I have ever heard. I don't think I can take it. And then I heard myself say, yeah, but when was he ever wrong? Okay, shout is the message. That did it. One simple statement did it. That's why the Lord's shown me all these things about the shout. And he's going to continue to do so because that's what he's in the business of doing, teaching us. Moses went down to Egypt. He was vindicated. He called on Israel, which was a people, not a church. Israel was a people. They never were a church because the word church means called out ones. They were the people of God. Then, when they became anointed under the word and were called out, they became the church of God and then backslid because they believed not the word of God, but listened to a false prophet. Now notice, they started out and got sidetracked. Like the lady that, she's sure that I'm a very bad type of person. So she sends her tape out, and I told you I got her name on. And in there she mentions, you know, that I'm a very bad person, but she listens to Mr. Swagger. Because he's so close to Brother Branham. He's just the closest to him. A Trinitarian? A believer in woman preachers? False anointed? Squealed on his buddy? Swaggerson is big adultery as his bag. Baker was, but Baker manifested. How come Swagger had to settle things out of court? Because he wanted money. As we play money down here, Brother Branham turned down money, played down money. You play up money, you are not in this message, my brother, sister. Let me tell you this morning. Amen. You're lost. You need to repent. You got a phony God. He's a false God. His name is Mammon. There's lots of money out here. God will give you a penny. Not trouble with you. That's not the trouble. It's the heart. It's a heart. God wants to establish your heart. You stand the pinch. You take those things that God wants Christians to have. You won't lack. David said, I've never seen all that. I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm not saying preaching a message here you're going to get rich or something. No, I'd be that hogwash. I've stood right in the middle of the road. And I'll continue to stand, but I'm telling you, brother, sister. These guys are, one guy with his adultery is no different except he indulged in it. At least he's that far ahead of the game. You say, Brother Vader, getting naughty next rated. I am not naughty next rated. No. I'm just telling you the truth. Because they're both going to get it. In your mind, just as bad as your flesh, although the flesh is a little bit worse. They're both in a mess. Tell you what, you heap yourselves treasures out there one way or the other, you get it. I say they're both in the same lousy boat. Now he said, listen, they believe not the word of God, but listen to a false prophet. I hope that sinks in. He's talking to the church, the people that claim they've been called up by this message. Israel, being a people of God, came out under the hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God. That's Hebrews 6, seeing the signs and wonders of God. And then when God was moving on with them, a false prophet came in anointed and taught something contrary to the original word of God that they had heard. And every one of them perished in the wilderness except three people. Now, who were the three people? That was Moses and Caleb and Joshua. Moses did not really die. He was just taken away. He died, but he's just taken away. Caleb and Joshua went in. Okay. We taught Tuddy that last Sunday. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved by water, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Shall he find faith? As it was in the days of Lot, when 3 came out of Sodom, shall he find faith? So shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Will he find faith? Yep, that's the time to be fulfilled right now. Malachi 4. I'm only quoting Scripture, the Lord's Word, which heaven and earth will pass away. It'll be a minority. Everybody talk about rapture ain't going one. The old Negro song, everybody talk about heaven ain't going there. All right, 134 is where we start. Notice, here Moses goes down to Aaron. Moses was to be God. God told him to be God. God said, you be God and let Aaron, your brother, be your prophet. You put the words in his mouth if you can't speak very well. Okay. Moses being God was to be God to everybody. But he said, I will not speak because I'm a poor speaker. So therefore God said, okay, you will talk to Aaron. You will be God to Aaron as I am God to you. Then Aaron will be the prophet to the people. Okay. This is exactly what God did. He came down in a pillar of fire. And he talked face to face with his messenger, which was Moses, his great prophet. Then the prophet in turn went to the priesthood. Because Aaron represents the priesthood, though Moses was also a Levite. Then he became the spokesman. Now, show me any difference between now on the river, in Ohio River, in 1933, July the 11th. When the pillar of fire came down, and consequently from that time onward, spoke face to face with the prophet, who in turn became God to us. And also to a ministry. There are those who don't believe in a fivefold ministry. Show me where the prophet said it. I want to know. Or say the tapes will do it. I want to know. How anybody can say, show me. I'm not from Missouri. I'm just anxious to know. Then I can quit too. I won't have any trouble. You might come and say, Brother Bailey, you got a little special. No, I don't. I'm fivefold minister. I teach. This today then is the same in Ephesians, I beg your pardon, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, when the Lord himself has descended with a shout, which is a military command. Which is the voice of authority to put in order something. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about a bride going in a rapture. Then what will be put in order? The bride going in a rapture will be put in order. That was exactly Brother Branham's vision. God even gave him a vision. William Branham didn't know this hogwash. How anybody going to come and tell me, William Branham, figure this thing out? Any more than Joe Smith did. Old Joe Smith had a false angel come down and tell him. Simple as ABC, William Branham had God come down and tell him. Because it's vindicated. And we're getting part of the shout this morning by talking about these false anointed ones. Part of the end time message. All right, now, let's just look at this scripture here where this man, Moses, was God to Aaron, and Aaron became the spokesman. So we go to a big department. I was going to say Ephesians, Exodus, the 4th chapter. Exodus 4. This is a good subject this morning. Okay, 14 to 17. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. Is that the way it was when we saw Brother Branham? You bet it was. I was glad, but I was kind of mad, and I was kind of sad, because I knew I'd have to go back preaching, having seen that fellow. Oy, yoy. But I said, this was it. This was it. Sure. In other words, you'll know that this fellow's got something. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. and will teach you what you shall do. Now notice, God is going to be with Moses' mouth. And Moses is going to be with Aaron's mouth. So therefore, God is with Aaron's mouth. Did you catch something? Trickle-down economy. Okay, let's keep reading. He shall be thy spokesman to the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. Okay. That's trickle down again. Tells you exactly. You don't have any thoughts. You don't have any words. But you got a mouth. So don't try to think. Just take what he says. Don't try to figure it. And just say it. In other words, you've got to accept verbatim what the prophet said before you do one thing with it. And when you're satisfied that this is God verbatim, that the prophet does not make mistakes, that this is a vindicated, perfect message, then you are free and then only free to talk about it. Because if you don't understand that, you'll mess it up like that guy did with poor little Reggie Pugh. I'd say, thank God the fella got mad at me and left. No confidence in me for preaching the prophet's message. Poor old Brother Dale couldn't understand sovereignty of God either. Ended up listening to Lori. I don't speak even the man's memory. Poor old Brother Dale, if he was here, I'd love him, shake his hand, do it a good for him. He's gone on. But that Lori, where'd he get his hogwash from? I'd like to know. Have you ever seen the stuff he's had published? I read that stuff years ago. Oh, racist hogwash. You people watch out. You can get caught too easy. You know, you might think you're smart sitting here. Because you got smarter, far smarter brains than I have. But you ain't near as old as I am, brother. I sat with that old oak tree, Daddy Bosworth. And Daddy Bosworth had been through Mormonism. He liked it. He enjoyed the book. He was a British Israel. Saw it was going dead. He was in Pentecost. Daddy went through the gamut of everything. He even recommended I read the book Intramuros, Between the Walls, to see the beautiful little visions and these two sweet little old ladies had. And I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. And I said to this, you got the book? She said, I had it, Brother Bill. I'll see if I can find it. She said, I lent it. I don't know who lent it. Can't get it back. One day I saw it advertised by the Cook Company in Chicago, the big Sunday school bunch up there. The fundamentalists, you know, missionary lines, Nazarene, Methodist, Baptist, all that kind of stuff. Oh, I was so happy to have them intramuros and read Between the Walls of these visions. Two sweet little old ladies involved in spiritism. Hogwash. You know something? I'm glad we got a verbatim message. Amen. See, it just takes the strain right off your head. Oh, my. Old Aaron, he didn't know how lucky he was. See? You shall be to him in lieu of God instead of God. Thou shalt take this rod in thine hands, and so on and so forth. Now, all right, now let's go a little further here, and we'll read in Exodus, the 7th chapter, and a couple of verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. Ho, 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 ho. What do you think of that? That's where Elijah was Jezebel's pastor. So Elijah comes down, she said, who's that old fuzzy worm? She said, hey guy, who are you? I'm your pastor. She said, you're my one. He said, I know I don't look like your pastor, and you don't look like one of my parishioners. But he said, notwithstanding what looks are like, I am your pastor, and you are under me. And you better listen, woman, because I'm telling you, the dogs are going to lick your butt. You painted up, hussy. And she painted her eyes. Now, you guys, that girls that hanker for eye shade, you're Jezebels. You might not like me to say this, but go home and wash the gunk off your eyes. Because that's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't say she had rouge on her face. It said she had the junk on her eyes. And the book of Revelation talks. I don't mean to say you're a Jezebel like she was. I'm just saying you're getting too close to the old mama back there. Don't hurt anybody's feeling, but if you get hurt, I'm sorry. It just came out, and that's where it's going to be. I can't take it back, because that's the Bible. I can take back maybe hurting your feelings if I could. But for your own sake, get it off your eyes. It's also dangerous. It's not just unspiritual, it's dangerous. Get it off. Get it out of your heart. You know, I got a woman down in Florida. Man, she could not stand to see anybody's rouge and stuff on. My wife finally got the bottom of it. She confessed to her she was so jealous because she couldn't wear the stuff herself. Anybody hankering to wear your skirts up past your knees, you know, wanting to cut your hair? And you men, same way, not just the women, but you men. What are you really hankering for? You know what I suggest you do? No, I won't either. I say, you might as well do it because you're going to get caught doing something anyway. Get it out of your system. Better, I should say, look, pray to God and get it out of your system. Ask the Lord to make you feel embarrassed and just downright vulgar. Whatever it is going to make you change. I've got to pray the same way, don't worry. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I want anybody to think for 1 minute. Or if I had my hair a certain way, I might even put a Marcel in. I don't know. Not that that's... not that it condemned me to hell. You know what I mean? Look, anybody can be carnal, but hey, watch it. Now he said, look, you're going to be God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. And thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and that he send the children of Israel out of this land. Now, what you're looking at here then is not just a trickle-down economy, as though it's a trickle-down economy, although that in a way it is. It is a thus saith the Lord understanding. Now, with that, as he said here, you put the words in his mouth and he'll because he speaks well, and so on. I want to go to Numbers 11 and 29 to show you what I am talking about for your benefit here, in my benefit, linking the scripture up. And Moses said unto Eldad, no, unto the young man that ran to him, about Eldad and Medad, and he said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Because these two men were prophesying outside after God's Spirit came on them. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. And the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Now, let me show you something. Every one of us that will take this word as Brother Branham gave it, believing it, and telling anybody, is automatically a prophet. Read it yourself. Would God all the people were prophets. Therefore, if Aaron was Moses' prophet, Moses was God's prophet, William Branham was God's prophet, the minute we put his words in our mouth, we are William Branham's prophets. We take the same message. Now, I'm trying to show you something here. We've been raised to a very high position, every one of us, by virtue of this word. You don't need to be out here looking for gifts and things while these guys want to prophesy and prophesy that. Look, you've got a sure word of prophecy right now, which is this prophetic message, because Brother Branham said, thus it has been spoken, and thus it will be. So, with that, let's go to the book of Acts. The second chapter, 17, to come to pass the last day, saith God, upon the Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, don't you know that dreams and visions were part of a prophetic ministry? Wasn't it? Hold your hand there. Turn back to Numbers, the 12th chapter. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, so I can never find it. The 12th chapter, verse 8, 7. My servant Moses is, no, I got to start up here. Verse 5. And the Lord came down the pillar of fire, stood in the door of the tabernacle, called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even in his view, in a shape. and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold? Wherefore then are you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In the last day, everybody can qualify as a prophet pretty well. Oh, you're going to prophesy. You bet you are. You're going to be a prophet to somebody. Let's keep reading. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I'll pour in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. What is their prophecy going to be? It doesn't say they're going to have visions and dreams. The other guys are going to have it. The false anointed ones. But the genuine anointed of God are going to have the verbal expression of God's prophet in their mouth, constituting them, would to God, all his children were prophets. Stood in that peculiar holy place. Good morning, prophets of God. True prophets. Nobody told you you had to prophesy something to make you a prophet. That's a Brother Branham could take the term and say it's a preacher. Every woman can have this word in her mouth. Every man, every child gives you an authoritative voice. Not as though you were the authority, but God's own authority established to you and in you. That's a beautiful understanding. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 23. And understand even more what we're looking at. This is good for a devotional. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. The confession of our faith. Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. What confession? The end hour confession of Hebrews 12. Which is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Which is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Which is Malachi 4. Based on Luke 17, 20 to 30. John 14 and 12. 14. Right down the line. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. Now you are saying the same thing that Jesus said. Watch what it says over here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador do? He takes the literal message of the king. And the man says, well, now just a minute. I'd like to argue that point. I'm sorry. There is no argument unless I go right back to my king. Because I can't say what I think. I can only say what he says. Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. There's your prophet again. There's your ambassador. There's your elevation of authority. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 10. Now I beseech your brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that you all say what I said. That's why this church must never, ever lose the thought on which we stood to begin with. We are going to have this message here and nothing but this message. And if this message doesn't do it, nothing is going to do it. Now, do you think that God is going to lose one of his true prophets? No! He's going to lose all the false ones. He never had them in the first place. I never knew you. They're going to come and say, we prophesied. We're going to come and say, we prophesy too. That's why I say we're not afraid of the white throne. We're into it. Do you people understand what I'm saying? Or are you still sleeping in your seats? I don't mean rough on you. I'm just trying to wake you up. That is the judge, my brother. That is the judge. That is the judge. He is here. He's not gone away. And his word is here. And 1,000 years is a day. One day from now, with a couple minutes thrown in, white throne. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or do you really understand? Apocalypse now. When they said apocalypse, they only meant what? They meant the tragedy and the terrible things that come out of it. When we say apocalypse now, we say revelation of Christ the Judge. Instantly to the white throne by prophetic projection. Now, I know the devil's going to try to beat it out of you and me. Oh, yeah, he might even try to kill us, get us sick or anything else. That's why he says, take care of yourselves. Do everything we can. I'm warning you. You get sick like I was. The devil can just about beat everything out of you, my little children. You think I'm up here just telling you little stories. I got news for you. I'm not telling you stories. I'm looking you in the eye and I'm telling you what's true and real. And I'm talking by experience. You're not half as smart as you think you are. And I'm dumber than all of you. But I'm 72 years of age. And you learn a few things whether you want to learn them or not. You learn you get funny spots on your face and warts and bumps and God knows what. You get aches and pains and this and that. You lose your hair and t'other and s'other. So you can't help but learn some things in the ministry of Christ also. See? You got a rough road to here, to hoe. But I tell you, you don't have to, and you and I don't have to. We can be fully prepared for the white throne and fully prepared for the millennium because this is what does it. My brother, sister, don't you know already those that departed are getting a type of preparation that you and I do not go for. It's not as though that the preparation is some kind of a growth up into something or some kind of a purgatory. I'm not what I'm talking about. They already know from where they are at that there's something they're walking into. We can't say that. We've got ours here whereby we know what we're walking into. So their preparation is in one respect, ours is in another. You follow what I'm saying? I know it's kind of oblique, but do the best you can to wrestle with and understand, please. That's all. I can't tell you any different. Because I'm going by types. And then he said, this word is what prepares you for over there. We've got a very special word at this hour. We understand it only too well by that respect. Okay, let me keep reading because our time's all but gone. I didn't want to take this much time. Okay, he said here, you be God. Now, and he said, but who made man dumb when Moses said, I don't speak to him? Who made man to speak? But the Lord did. Okay, now, and Moses walked down there. What did he do? He performed a true and just miracle that God told him to do. Now, watch. What was the true and just miracle? He threw down his rod and it turned into a serpent. Right? William Branham took your hand. I think left hand and left hand. I forget now. And he took the hand. Instantly, something came in his hand. And he showed it to us. It got swollen and white color and this and that. Now watch. When Moses went to Egypt, throwing down his rod that turned to a serpent, Pharaoh said, come on, you birds, you magicians, show this guy a thing or two. They threw down their rods and it turned to a serpent. Theirs was not a just miracle. It was not a just miracle. They could pull it off, but it was not a just miracle. Now, I can't get time but to just read this, and we're going to close. So, therefore, I'm going to skip ahead of this message where Brother Branham talks about the sign in his hand. And as soon as William Branham did a just miracle, as Moses did a just miracle, that became a trap. Huh? It became a trap to the magicians. William Branham did a just miracle that became a trap to the Pentecostals. Yeah. Hope you caught it. It was a trap. It was to make them stand up and say, we will not let you go. We got authority. We're going to hold you here. He performed a just miracle that God told him to do. God did not tell those men to do that. God told him, go cast your rod down. He cast it down. It was a serpent. He picked it up. It turned back to a rod. God said, go do that before Pharaoh and say, thus saith the Lord. These other guys after Brother Branham couldn't say, thus saith the Lord, but they kept throwing down the rod for serpent. They kept taking the hands, and they kept smelling things and seeing things and getting sensation. And I'm going to tell you something. You can do it very easily. And I'm going to tell you, sitting here, brother, sister, you can be genuinely baptized with the Holy Ghost and led astray and do that, and the Lord will have to correct you. Because, you see, you can do those things. You can enter in with or without the Holy Ghost baptism. Usually without the baptism. And I'm going to tell you something. As soon as you come to the Word, that's all gone. Because, you see, God doesn't beat you over the head. He lets you learn a lot of things by experience, and I learned. And I learned, I thought you could, anybody could discern. I called it a word of knowledge. And I would stand there and read you like a book, and I would say, like Brother Branham, not knowing he said this, I'd say, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You try to hide, you ain't going to hide anyway. And I can make my boast good. Then one day, as I began following the word closer, began going and going and going and going. Ruth, you're too young to remember anything happened down in Florida. Get some of the old fruitiers down there. I was already past my prime when I went down there. In Canada, some call me a second Branham, which was very flattering. I wasn't even a third, fourth, or fifth, or thousandth. I couldn't do those things. But he said, Lee, he said, you had a lot of genuine discernment. He said, you didn't make mistakes, proving, he said, you're wrong to do it. He said, that is my ministry. That was the end of it. I said, Brother Branham, you trying to tell me, you're saying that the gifts are ages over? He said, Brother, veil, they're over. That's why we stick to this word, brother, sister. God was not using gifts when he created the world. God was using his word. Amen. Moses was using the word. William Branham was using the word. These men are using gifts. They're using anointings. Moses and William Branham were using the anointer, or the anointer was using them. Now, you could vary that back and forth within a small margin, but it holds pretty true right down there. All right. And when Pharaoh saw this, he said, why, what a cheap magician trick. He blasphemed the Holy Ghost right there. He said, there's nothing to it, mental telepathy. He blasphemed again. Why, we got guys in our organization who can do the same thing. He couldn't tell the Holy Ghost from the devil. Come here, Bishop so-and-so, and you come out here. We've got those who can do the same thing. Now listen, that was Satan talking through Pharaoh. That was God talking through Moses. Oh my. Exodus. The fifth chapter, back again to the, go to the fifth chapter this time. Okay, after verse chapter, first verse. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should be his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days during the desert. A sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or sword. The king of Egypt said to them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their burdens work? Go, get you unto your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are many, that ye make them rest in their burdens, and so on. You notice in there, it goes on right on down to where they began making them work bricks without straw, and so on. Now, what I'm looking at here is this thought. God was talking through Moses. God was talking through William Branham. The devil was talking through Jannes and Jambres. The devil is talking through the anointed ones of the end time. We say, Brother Bill, I know some very fine preachers. Bully for you. Why don't you go sit under them? Amen. You see, that's why I said I'm up for a vote. You don't have to sit here and listen to me. You'd be offended right now. You say, I can't take that. Well, come be my guest. Nobody asked you to stick around. You lose confidence in my preaching. And I'm preaching the prophet. You lose confidence. Why would I ask you to stay? My God, get out for your own good. Because I'll only offend you worse and worse and worse. And you'll end up with such a stomach ache you'd be pitiful. But I'll tell you, if you could stick around here until you get your teeth sharpened on the true bread of God, you'll find you don't have a stomach ache anymore. You'll find you get along real good. It's a little bit tough at times to put up with me the way I talk. I know that. I'm not jolly St. Nicholas and sweet, sweet, sweet. I'm sorry. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. She's a liar like I am, so she'll tell you I'm sweet. I think she's a bigger liar than I am. She'll soon weigh more if she doesn't quit eating. Nah. No, I did. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest up here. You can't listen. Was Brother Branham popular? He was feared. He might have been respected in many quarters. But William Branham was not popular. I'll tell you one thing. By those who knew him and loved him, he was deeply loved. Jesus didn't have very many people carrying him to his burial. He didn't make front page news for the world, but he sure made front pages for us. And I saw the manifestation from heaven. I wrote different places. And I said, did anybody get this in the heavens? And I stood there and saw that sun, that the platinum was whirling around, jumping as it does. And you could look just like this at 4 o'clock, and your eyes wouldn't water, wouldn't blur. You could stand there and watch it. And like hands on a clock seemed to form 10 minutes to four. What does that mean? Four is deliverance? Was it just 10 minutes before? What does 10 minutes mean? Don't ask me. I got no idea what it's talking about. But I saw a little blood puff out of one side of the sun and gold. I swear before God, and I've got witnesses. I saw it puffing come right down to this earth as though the sun was up there only a few feet in the air. Or a few thousand feet, whatever. When it drifted between the sun and a white building, the building became pink color. And when the gold drifted, it became a golden color. And I saw a salute to a great prophet. You can say what you want. I'm telling you what happened. I saw men sit there as though nothing happened. They're big, fine Cadillacs. One was Carlson, one was Bose. The two Carlson brethren. I showed them. I said, get up and look at it. They couldn't. I got mad. Oh, you know me. I get mad easy. I got a big temper. And I grinned and said, what's the matter with you guys? Don't you believe anything? Or don't you know what's going on? They got out of that car. They did all say this to their credit. They broke down and began to weep. Sister Branham laying there near death. Let me tell you something, brother. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. You bet. May God put this prophet's words in my mouth until I don't even think. I just say what he said even. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You can't help but think, my brother and my sister, I don't care who you are, Gene. Any of you? Norm sitting here? Joe? Gary? Ann, you sit here? Cindy right behind? Denise, you can't help but think. Your mind's rattle like mine. But you can only get this message by a revelation to stick with it. And when you get the revelation, let me tell you this. I don't care how your mind rattles. It won't mean anything. You'll be right with this word. God's not made you fools. He made you prophets unto him. Hallelujah. And a prophet doesn't muck it. And a prophet doesn't junk it. Especially when there's two kinds of prophets. And they both got the Holy Ghost, but one's just anointed. One's got a real baptism. And the others are going to go by their visions and their dreams and their voices and their this and their that. And we're going to go right by a vindicated prophet. Yes, I'm a prophet too, bless God. I've got something to tell you people. Thus saith the Lord by William Branham. Thus and so it is. Amen. Well, you see, my vision's different. I don't care 2 bits for your vision.
Right.
I don't care 2 cents for your dreams.
Amen.
You can have them. And I'll pour molasses on them to help you out, buddy. That's it. Don't give it to you. It's your brother Vader mean. I'm not mean. I'm telling you the truth, honey. Don't you understand where we're going today? Balaam wanted to go down and see if he could curse Israel. God said, okay. And he poured molasses on his dessert. He said, go on down. Because I'm ready for the white throne. Not in myself and not for myself. But this word makes the difference.
Amen.
Prophets, every child of God, into the Exodus, a prophet. But not a William Branham prophet. Not even a fivefold minister prophet. But even above a fivefold minister prophet if he's in the wrong pew. Or the wrong pulpit, so to speak. But true trickle-down spiritual economy prophets. Brother, sister, we are the economy-sized prophets. Big value in little packages. Fully concentrated. Why, we've had 21 years since the prophet left with this word here. And now we stand here and sit here moment by moment, word by word, knowing that God spoke through Moses and the devil spoke through the false anointed. And a poor sister in Tucson can't tell the difference. Yeah, she vindicates herself because something happened in one of Brother Branham's meetings. Yeah. Brother, sister, what's happened in your life that makes you an authority on anything? It comes to the word. You know, if I go by anything, I'm going to go by one thing. When I saw him, I said, that's the man you better listen to. When I heard him, and the more I study, I find that regardless of my own thinking, I'm a million times better off to try to get his thinking than mine any day. This is what we're looking at here. That was Satan talking through Pharaoh. You know, Jesus said to that bunch, said to Satan himself, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And I'm going to tell you one day, and that's what you and I need to do with these guys out there, which they don't fool us anymore, let's face it. You know what the big fooler is now? It's old Balaam amongst us. Balaam with his schemes. Balaam trying to take the bride in tow. Bring her to her adulteries and fornications. That's where we're at right now. The gainsaying of Korah, Dathan, Abiram. We're worried about that. These old birds are things of the past. Now we've got to watch these others coming up. And they'll be coming up in this message. That's all. We got half past 12. We've run out of our time. Take maybe not run out, but your time has run out. You've been good, fine people. The Lord bless you. Appreciate your vote of confidence and all those things you give me. And look, just keep this in mind as we go into this next Wednesday night. Didn't get much done, but there's so much good things in here. The prophet says, and remember, he said, this message is only for the elect. And this message, this one here, is the one that will steer you and me away from the trap. And at the same time, we've taken the scripture to show the same God that came down with the shout said, yes, I've got two groups of prophets. They're out there in the world, and they got visions, and they got dreams, and they prophesy. But he said, I've got my own servants, both men and women. Remember, Brother Branham talked about Rahab being a very faithful little old girl down there. And she came, became a wife of a great spiritual Israelite down to one of the, you know, the ancestors of Jesus Christ. Now look, he said, I've got mine down there too. And they're not going by dreams and visions. They're going by a face-to-face God prophet revelation. And they're saying what the prophet said. The same as I told Aaron. Now listen, they become prophets to the people. Now listen a minute here, brother, sister. Let's go a little further now before we go home. If Moses was God to Aaron, and Aaron was prophet to Pharaoh, right? But remember, God was God to Moses, and Moses was prophet who became God, right? Then Aaron would have to be God to Pharaoh, whether Pharaoh wanted it or not, right? Then every one of us who have this message correctly and speak it correctly in the right spirit become not only a prophet, but a God to the people. Because that's all the way they're going to get it, brother, sister. They're not going to get it from the anointed ones out there. Are they? No. They're not going to get it from the preachers, you know, are they? Where are they going to get it? Brother Brandon said, sister, testify to the milkman. Tell the postman. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Don't push it just if the door opens. And don't tell it more than once. Well, twice at the very most. They don't listen, just go on your way. Amen. You know, Moses didn't go down and do the same thing every time before old Pharaoh. It was just a trip hammer coming in. to find the whole thing blue. And I want to tell you, this message is getting trip hammer strong in a bride. You bet it is. And I'm going to tell you, and you know there's engineers sitting here, and you know the greatest trouble in the world with all machinery, airplanes and everything, is stress, is that motion, is that hammering, is that buffeting, is that dinning. And that bride, brother, sister, is getting sharper and sharper with her sword and with the hammer that breaks up the rocks. And the old blows are being felt out here, whether you and I know it or not. And every time we lift our voices and come here, and every time you meet and you talk together and you talk in your homes and you think these things, that blow is getting stronger and stronger against the enemy. And the old bride's going to leave this world a rocking and a reeling because of the word of God and a special group of people that are prophets in the right sense of the word. Now, come on.
Amen.
And God in the right sense of the word. Demigods, the right sense of the word. Yeah. And they go by vindicated, thus saith the Lord, and they cannot and will not be deceived. Now listen, that's worth throwing away everything you got. Your cigarettes, your liquor, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, and your goop, and your gunk, and all the stuff you're doing. That's worth settling down, living for God for, brother, sister, because He's living for you. That's worth becoming an integrated family. And I wouldn't put anybody out of this society or association here for anything in the world. You make yourself available, my brother, my sister, for love. There'll be all kinds of love flowing your way. You make yourself available to this word, you'll find there's be no lack. No, sir. This church has stood strong. It's going to stand strong on love coming out of this word. Compassion coming out of the word. Compassion is doing the will of God. That's what the prophet said. You can't get to church. You're too broke. We'll help you. We'll get you to church. Don't worry about that. I want to tell you something. We've lacked nothing, brother, sister. Israel lacked nothing. And I'll tell you what happened. They began getting too fat and kicked over the traces. They began fussing amongst themselves. And they lost out. Let that not happen here before God. Every man will be accountable. I'm accountable. If I'm a hypocrite, it'll come out. If I'm telling you something I'm not doing, it'll come out. Don't worry. But I tell you, if I'm living, it'll come out too. Now you heard my voice. You made your votes. So, Brother Vail, my heart's not quite right yet. Why don't you start working on it? What did God do about your heart? He began working on it, right? Is He still working on it? Okay, well, you help Him along, that's all. Love the Lord? So are we all love. Let's rise and be dismissed. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the love and peace and joy we have in You, Lord God, in heaven. It's just like heaven to be with Your people here, Lord. And we know, Father, there is no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. And there is no spirit outside the Spirit of God that can do what we want done. And that Spirit is here above every spirit, in control as the prophet showed it, that it can be done. And so now, Lord, we pray for that Spirit who is love to so cut a swath in each heart as to take out anything and everything, Lord, that isn't completely a picture of love. Self-sacrificial love to lay everything on the counter. To be willing and upright, but never to exceed to that which is against the word. Lord, today I think there's none of us but want to be in that very special place that You've already put us, if we'd only really recognize it. And that is that everything but the word is expendable. Our faith in Thee, O God, in this word of the hour. Fill our mouths with it, Lord, but with understanding, lest we do despot to the Spirit of grace. Fill our mouths with the Lord, and as You do, take that razor sword and cut away everything from our own thinking. Lord, I'd like that. I'm not going to pretend, Lord, that I got any grounds to believe that I can have it just as the prophet got it. But, Lord, I do know that I can have my portion, what the prophet gave to us, and maybe a little portion for me, another for my brother, for my sister. And all of us can have it exactly the way he had it, according to our measure. Now, Father, I'm going to rest on that because I don't know where to go from this point on. So we're going to rest on it this morning, Lord, that we are going to have a measure of that word, and it's going to be our measure, and it's going to be word for word, Lord, with understanding and a life that comes out of it, especially a love that comes out of it, and a manifestation that it's there will prove that it has come out of it. We haven't left it bottled up. We haven't taken seeds and put them in concrete. We've taken seeds and put them in the fertile ground where the sun and the rain touches it and brings it forth. We believe that, Lord. And we don't believe there's one person here this morning that's going to miss it. I know some may think, well, I'm going to miss it, and some may say, I don't even want it. I don't think that anybody would say that. I don't want it. But, Lord, if there would be somebody, I know that that person doesn't know what he or she is saying, and you come right behind them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that might be possible. We know it is, especially if they're elect. At least, Lord, their minds could be changed and say, well, it's not too real, but I know that's the realest thing there is. But, Father, we want your blessing upon every single person here. Father, spur us on, we pray, during this. We know something's moving in us, Lord. We understand that. We know it only too well, oh God. There's a move, Lord. There's a striving, like the little chicken picking out the shell coming Easter. We know, Lord, there's something going on. I know it. I'm not unaware of it, and there's nobody here that's unaware of it, Lord. But, Father, we want that awareness to turn into a reality as nothing else in our lives. So this becomes our very life. Now, I believe somebody's got to have that, Lord, and I don't think I'm praying outside the truth of the word. So will you help us at this time to just step into it, receive it, and go on to higher heights and deeper depths, so that everything, Lord, is under the blood, where we've made mistakes, oh God, to take them in a proper spirit of correction. And Lord, I need correction every day. I can't even open my eyes in the morning, but I need, first thing something pops out of my mouth, I need correction. An attitude, Lord, maybe wake up grumpy, not feeling so good. That needs correction. Not a thing, oh God. I look at what I preach from the word here and think, Lord, I should have said it another way. That needs correction. Everything, Lord, is a matter of correction, correction, correction. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to receive this great spirit that you've given us in correction, Lord God, that each one of us might be corrected. And therefore shine forth as true stars in your kingdom. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.